There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
No. No. That's not true. That's impossible.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true. Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy as father and son.
One of the more famous interchanges from the original Star Wars trilogy, where it is finally revealed at long last that the villain, Darth Vader, is in fact the father of Luke Skywalker. I hope I'm not spoiling anything. If you've been alive for the last 20 years, you probably know that already. It's become an icon of pop culture. Luke, I am your father is one of the biggest reveals in film history. But what is this story Star Wars, what is the story telling about this family? Now that we know that Darth Vader is Luke's father and that Princess Leia is his sister and there's a family at work here. In fact, the other movies go on to tell that story in painful detail. What does it say about the commandment that we've been given by God? Honor your father and mother. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon, December the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Star Wars and the commandment, honor your father and mother. Pastor Ted Giese will be our guest. He's our regular movie reviewer today. We'll be talking about that subject with him. A little bit later, Bible, faith, Tuesday's GOP debate. Dr. Peter Scare will be our guest. We'll walk through the use of the Bible by presidential candidates. His father, Dr. David Scare, will join us after that to begin a brand new series here on Issues Etc. Responding to liberal proof text. Today we'll take up the text in Mark chapter 10 that pertain to the kingdom of God, what liberals do with Jesus' words about the kingdom of God. And then we'll be looking forward to Sunday morning. According to the historic lectionary, Pastor Michael Fries will be sitting in for Pastor David Peterson. We'll be in the testimony of John in John chapter 1. Looking forward to Sunday morning. You can join us for the next 2 hours plus with your questions or your comments. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at Issues ETC, and the Issues Etc. comment line is open 24/7, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about Star Wars and the commandment, honor your father and mother, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Before we go back to the original trilogy of Star Wars and talk about this subject of honor your father and mother, let's talk about the one that's coming out here and that is has such high expectations attached to it, far higher than the previous three films ever had. What is it about this film that makes people expect so much?
Well, there's a whole bunch of reasons, I think. Just to kind of list some of them off, the prequel movies, the ones we first were introduced to in 1977, 1980, and 1983, those ones are episodes 4, 5, and 6. And then they have these prequel movies 1, 2, and 3. The first of those came out in 1999. But they were a real mixed reception. Like, some of the younger kids that saw it liked it, but a lot of the people who knew the original series felt kind of, in some ways, betrayed by George Lucas, who seemed to take everything in a direction that they weren't happy with. So a lot of the magic and mystery and excitement of the original films kind of was tarnished in the middle of it. So I think that one of the reasons why there's a lot of excitement for this is because Disney purchased for $1 billion, that's right, $1 billion, they purchased the whole kit and caboodle of Star Wars from George Lucas. And then they put it into the hands of J.J. Abrams, and a lot of people know J.J. Abrams from TV shows like Alias or Lost, but he also did the new Star Trek movies, where they kind of reintroduced Star Trek to people, and there was the first of those ones was a really well-made film, apart from a lot of lens flare, you know, digital additions. The tone of it was right, the kind of perfect wedding of nostalgia plus new excitement and energy was something that the people who go to see films really enjoyed. So you get a Disney now has Star Wars. They put it in the hands of somebody that people who like this genre kind of trust. And I think that those are some of the things. Plus, in addition to all of that, now it's set 30 years in the future, but you have Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill and all of the original people coming back now. So there's, that is another reason why people are excited, because there is this faint glimmer, this little tiny hope that maybe something of that original excitement and mystery and film magic, quote unquote, that people experienced the first time around, it's possible maybe that some of that could be there. Plus, they've also had very strong trailers, people just kind of feel some kind of level of confidence that it might be something worthwhile. So we'll see what it's going to be like, and just to tease it a little bit, like after Christmas and the dust has settled, not to spoil anything for anybody, I'll do a review of The Force Awakens, and we'll come back and talk about all of that then.
So let's return to that one story that is told in the original trilogy. And I'm old enough to remember the excitement of going to see the first one for the first time on its opening day. I mean, that image is blazed into my mind. Walking out of that theater, I can tell you what time of day it was and everything else. But then to learn, the audience learns in time, that this is a family story, as you say. How do you approach Star Wars as a family story?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting element of it. And you're right. Like, that first film, 1977, had a huge impact on a lot of people who watched it. But the thing that no one knew in that movie was where this story of this family was going. You got introduced to kind of like three major characters that are part of the nucleus of this family, the key people in the family. So you got introduced to Darth Vader, who is an intergalactic warlord, kind of a character involved with government, that kind of a thing, suited in his black, breathing apparatus and uniform and all of that. And then you have this orphaned moisture farmer kid from this little planet, and you have this princess from this doomed planet of Alderaan that's going to be destroyed. And by the time you get out of the first film, A New Hope, the planet's gone, and she has no planet anymore. So basically, she's orphaned from her planet. And what you find out in the second film that was released, Empire Strikes Back, you find out that, what you find out is that Darth Vader says that he is Luke's father. In the third film, Return of the Jedi, then you discover that Luke has a twin sister, and that is this Leia. So upon repeat viewing, when you watch the whole thing all together, then you start to see this, you know that they're a family. And I think that that's where the Christian viewer, particularly, any Christian viewer that knows the Fourth Commandment is going to be interested in that. As Lutherans, knowing the Small Catechism, we're additionally going to have some extra thoughts kind of bouncing around in our head a little bit in terms of just what that Fourth Commandment means. So one of the things is that from the Small Catechism that we come across is, what does this mean when it says honor your father and mother? It says we should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents or other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. And now you have a situation where how does any of that happen in this family that's broken? when you're introduced to them, they don't even know each other. Like, somehow the father doesn't know who his kids are. The two kids don't know that they're siblings. None of them know that they're related to each other. How broken does a family have to be for that to be the case? And then you end up having these two children basically in a rebellion, a war against their father. And I think that that's all kind of an interesting place to start a discussion with. Like, how do you honor your father when he turns out to be a villain?
So let's talk about that question. How does the film answer, or the films answer that question? How do you honor your father when he turns out to be the worst person in the galaxy?
I think it's kind of interesting because there's a major shift that happens. When the characters don't know that he is their father, they are actively trying to undermine and destroy the empire that he's involved in running. When they find out that he is their father, particularly Luke Skywalker, who's the character that goes and has the final confrontation with him, that he does not go to kill his father. He goes with the hope of drawing him back from the dark side of the Force, quote-unquote, to take him back to maybe a honorable and virtuous path, to be a guardian of justice in the universe, in a new republic after the Empire falls. That's what he wants to have happen. So he doesn't even want to fight his father. He's going to rationalize with him, talk with him, try to, you know, woo him back through love, like back into an actual real relationship. And by that point, they've both accepted the fact that they are father and son, and they refer to each other that way. And that is kind of an interesting place. Of course, the father in this case does want to provoke his son into anger, because the dramatic tension is that the father wants to turn him to the dark side. So you've got the father and the son, and the one wants to bring him to the back out of his evil life, and then the other one wants to draw the son into the evil life that he's in. So there's your dramatic tension in this family relationship.
This has its resolution, just to kind of tell the story to its end. Again, there's no risk of spoilers here, but to tell the story to the end, there is in the story world of the film, there is, as you call it, kind of a confirmed redemption of this villainous father.
Yeah, I mean, George Lucas in the prequel films, he kind of wove in this kind of idea of a prophecy and about somebody who's going to try to restore balance to the Force and all that kind of stuff. But really, if you strip all of that away, what you end up with is the son that doesn't really want to fight the father. The son that wants the father back. And you got to remember, this is a son that grew up as an orphan who discovers he has a father but finds out that his father's evil and then wants to help his father come back to being away from being evil, to be redeemed. This same son then, through the course of the conclusion of Return of the Jedi, is at a point where he may be killed by this other character, the Emperor, who runs the universe, as it were, that galaxy, or however it works out, in a galaxy far, far, long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. At any rate, Luke Skywalker is going to die. And the father, standing by, sees that. And then he wants to stop it from happening. So he intervenes. And in the course of intervening, he forfeits his life. He ends up being injured in such a way that he's going to die. So the father basically then steps in, removes the Emperor, saves his son, but he himself will die because of that. So the love of the father for the son and the son for the father at that moment is the thing that kind of changes everything. Darth Vader then asks to have his mask removed, and they have this exchange, and he says, "I'm not going to let you die." That's what the son says. Luke says to his father, he says, "No, I'm going to die anyways." And then basically he says, "No, I want to save you." And then he says, "You have already saved me. Tell your sister you were right." you know, that you were right about me. And then they actually show like kind of a cremation scene where Luke Skywalker has taken his father, Darth Vader, and laid him out and set him on fire, and he's burning him on a pyre. But then at the very, very, very end of all of it, like in practically the last frames of the film, you see like kind of a ghostly force image of Darth Vader, now no longer in his, you know, get-up, his Darth Vader helmet and mask and all that kind of stuff, but just the way he would have been. So that is the key confirmation of the redemption that his character has achieved, or, you know, and basically through love. That's how it happens. It's, you know, that's how it occurs.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. When we come back, we'll conclude our conversation with him on Star Wars and the Fourth Commandment, honor your father and mother, how the story tells about, in essence, the keeping of that commandment. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts and is associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Stay tuned. Just in time for the Christmas season, we have a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. and our sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 20th and 27th, talk radio, and sacred music for the Christmas season. Issuesetc.org. Click support.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Just as God commanded his son to be born through humble means, he often works through small, unexpected ways to fulfill his promises to us. That's what your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will learn in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, O Bethlehem. This arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 5 through 9. O Bethlehem is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. O Bethlehem. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Wednesday afternoon, December the 16th. We're talking with Pastor Ted Giese, our regular movie reviewer, talking about Star Wars and the commandment, honor your father and mother. So let's get back to the Luke character here in that original trilogy. Does he serve as an example of this commandment, Pastor Giese?
I think so. I think with any of the commandments, whenever you're watching a movie, you'll have these kind of kicking around in your head. And the question is somebody fulfilling the commandment, or are they running contrary to the commandment? That's the thing to always be thinking about. So when it comes to, once he realizes that he has a father and this is his father, then you see this shift in him, and his attitude and his behavior towards his father changes. And I think that he does become a good example of somebody who's trying to honor his father, particularly by redeeming him, drawing him back away from from the path that he had been on. So I think that he's a good example of trying to keep that fourth commandment.
I guess what I'm wondering then is the it's all tied up nicely in a bow where it has, at least with respect to father and son, a happy ending. Yes, you know, Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker, is, you know, dies in the ability to die saving his son. We, as you said before, we get to see, you know, Force Ghost Anakin Skywalker standing there, essentially celebrating with everyone the at least temporary victory. Real life doesn't turn out that way. The drunken father, the abusive father, the mask doesn't come off. He doesn't learn the error of his ways. He doesn't become what a real father ought to be, which is self-sacrificing for his children. What are your thoughts there, pastorally?
Yeah, and I think that's why it's one of the things that makes this series resonate with some people. It's that, or a lot of people, is that there is a certain amount of wish fulfillment in it, right? Like you see that, and that is the hoped for end. It, like if somebody is listening to this right now and watches these movies, and their family is a total mess and a disaster, maybe they would wish and hope that the father would be able to be turned around, you know, even briefly. And I mean, as a pastor, you do see deathbed reconciliations that happen, and they provide great peace within families, even if there's been decades of turmoil and trouble between family members. That does happen. So there is a hope that it could happen, and it does happen for some people. But and I think that whole family aspect of these films is something that that really kind of draws people in, because there's lots of people who don't know their dad or didn't know their dad for a long time in their life because of, you know, being from broken homes or being from, you know, single mother situations growing up. So there's a lot of that that I think is interesting, even though, you know, it's spaceships and lightsabers and the rest of that too. I think also just as a Christian watching it, you know things like what St. Paul says in Colossians when he says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So you think of that and you go, well, you know, this Darth Vader character is certainly provoking his children to anger because he's an intergalactic dictator. And the caution there is that if you provoke your children, they could become discouraged. So there's that tension that's there. You know, also, you know, St. Paul talks about how, you know, children obey your parents, but how do you obey your parents when they're going directly against everything that's good and right? So that makes it interesting. And what you see with Luke Skywalker is that how does he do it? He does it by being patient and kind with his father, even though it's challenging, and he fails, but in the end succeeds. So I don't know if you remember, we did a movie review of a movie called Nebraska, and it was a father-son kind of story, and that was another Fourth Commandment kind of movie, and you saw over and over again successes and failures in the attempt to try to keep this commandment. And as Christians, we know that we succeed and fail at keeping the commandments at various times, mostly failing, and require forgiveness. So this is just another one of those examples where that's part of it. And another kind of interesting thing, I think, for all of this is that because of the family, I think that J.J. Abrams is picking up on this family thing, because in the original trilogy, there was this spot where Luke Skywalker says to his sister, "The Force runs strong, my family, my father has it, I have it, and my sister has it." And that was during the conversation where he reveals that they're twins. And in the trailer for this new film, you hear Luke Skywalker's voice, and he says, "The Force runs strong in my family, my father has it, I have it, and my sister has it, and you have it." So we are given we're being shown that there is going to be more to this family story probably happening in this next film. There's a big hint being telegraphed to us in those trailers.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You'll find a link to his movie reviews that we've mentioned here several times at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.